In addition to that, there are two other issues about prayer that I want to talk about today. The first one is that people often pray for the wrong motive. And the second one is that most of us tend to pray backwards. And we're going to talk about both of those. First, let's talk about our motivation for prayer. The most common reason that people pray is because they need something or they want something. There's nothing wrong with that. God wants us to talk to Him about our needs. And He wants us to talk to Him about our wants. Jesus made it very, very clear that God invites us to do those things. But those are not the only things we should be praying about. Matthew 7:7, Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." But Jesus expected more than that. I'm reminded of a testimony that I read from a pastor. And this is not a joke. He and his wife were on an airplane headed to New Zealand. It was a long flight. And finally, they were approaching Queenstown Airport, and it was in the middle of the winter, and an awful turbulence, air turbulence, filled the atmosphere, and the plane started shuddering. There were mountain ranges on both sides. There was a huge lake in front of them, and they were caught in some kind of a tunnel. Have you ever been in air turbulence? You know what that's like. He said that the plane would shudder, and then it would fall about 50 feet, and then it would shudder, and it would fall more. And he said it went on for 30 minutes, but it felt like hours. And people in the cabin of that plane were shrieking. They were so filled with terror. They were crying out, and they were praying out loud. And he wondered if some of those terrified people even knew the God to whom they were praying. And he remembered that famous quote, "There are no atheists in the foxholes." And they were in a foxhole in the sky, a terrible foxhole. Eventually, thank God, the plane landed safely. And all of those passengers deplaned, and they gathered around the baggage claim. And he said that many of them started looking at each other rather awkwardly, because they felt kind of silly, embarrassed. And later he wrote about this experience, and I'm quoting, "The content of those prayers fascinated me. The most common petition I heard was some variant of, 'God, please help me. Please save us. Oh God, don't let me die.' The other prayer I heard, though more infrequently, was, 'I'm sorry, God, please forgive me.' People want to be at peace with God when they die. So after crying out for rescue, they apologized as they prepared to meet their Maker." End quote. He summed it all up by saying this: the most common prayer I heard in that crisis was, "Please." And that is our most common prayer too. "God, please give me that job. God, please protect my children and my grandchildren. God, please heal my marriage. God, please heal my body." Once again, there is nothing wrong with asking God for any of those things, unless that is the only reason you pray. Praying out of fear, praying out of needs, praying out of wants are all acceptable to God, unless we only pray out of fear and needs and wants. We need to examine our motivation for prayer. We need to acknowledge also how infrequently we do pray. So how should we pray? Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. It was the only time in the Bible that we read that the disciples asked Jesus how to teach them anything. They saw the power of his prayer life and they wanted it for themselves. And so he gave them an outline of how they should pray. We call it the Lord's Prayer. Other people call it the disciples' prayer. Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. Say the opening with me. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus started his model prayer by acknowledging God for who he is. He started with praise and worship and adoration before he turned to request. But we tend to pray it backwards. We tend to start with our needs and our wants rather than starting with worship and praise. Our lives tend to come first when we pray to God. We start with, give me, help me, forgive me, rescue me. Furthermore, Jesus started that model prayer with something that was even more surprising as he's teaching his disciples, something more startling. One word that should capture our attention and shake us up a bit. He started the prayer with the word our. The words I, me, mine do not appear in the Lord's Prayer. Have you ever thought about that? And when he does get to the part where we make requests in the Lord's Prayer, it's always give us. Forgive us as we forgive others. Rescue us from evil. I imagine Jesus was weary of the fact that his closest disciples were so me-centered. Me-centered. Over and over in his examples and in his teachings, Jesus wanted them to learn to be we-centered. And thus, the church. The church. The church is not me, the church is we. And Jesus wants us to pray for one another, not just for ourselves. He wants that to be one of the prime motivators of our prayer life, focusing on the needs of we. Now, if that first word, our, wasn't enough to shake up the disciples, his second word was even more startling to them. Father. What an awesome, radical, unexpected gift Jesus gave to them and to us when he used that word. Because an Orthodox Jew would not even say or write the name of Jehovah God. He would not presume to have that intimacy with God. And Jesus said, but you may call him Father, Abba. He demonstrated that the relationship you and I can have with Jesus Christ is an intimate relationship, a personal relationship. Don't miss that, brothers and sisters. I was a young adult, full-time minister of music in a church before I ever heard some preacher say, you can have a personal relationship with your Savior Jesus Christ like a brother. I never knew that. I missed a lot of years not realizing how closely one can walk with God and how closely God wants to walk with you and with me. We all can have that. You have that available to you. A personal relationship with God. Don't miss it. Embrace it. A good father enjoys the company of his child. God actually enjoys having company with you. He likes being with you. He wants to walk in the garden with you. He wants to talk in the garden with you all the time. Jesus continued, "Our Father who art in heaven." Now, to the Jewish ear, that meant that God was transcendent. He was not just in the temple. He was not just in the synagogue. He was transcendent. For us, we would say, he's not just in a church building. He's everywhere. He's in you. He's in me. He's part of you because his Holy Spirit dwells in us. He's right here. We sing that often. He is here. He is here. He is moving among us. Personal relationship. Intimate relationship. Now, after Jesus acknowledged our Father, he immediately turned to worship and adoration. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that is where we so often come up short in our prayer life. Listen, if your daily life is absolutely filled from beginning to end with praise and adoration of God all the time, or at least most of the time, then you can skip ahead in your prayer life and you can get right to your needs and your wants. But if your daily life is lacking at all in praise and adoration of God, don't pray the Lord's Prayer backwards. Elizabeth and I have 10 grandchildren, all living within a short distance of Frederick, Maryland. There were times when in our past when the whole family would gather in our home, which sometimes seemed like too much of a good thing to a grumpy old granddad like me. But as they arrived at the door, I often tried to be standing right there at the door to greet each and every one of them, each one special. I wanted to hug each one of them and welcome them to the home, one at a time. But two of the youngest grandchildren often tried to dart by me without hugging me and immediately start looking for our two cats. That was what interested them the most. They were fascinated by our cats, and in fact, they still are. I would not let them get away with that. "Hey, so-and-so, you come here and give me a hug." And they did. They gave me a hug, and I hugged them back. And then they would run off on their search for the cats. You know what? I did not enjoy feeling like the cats were more important than their angelic grandfather. But that was the message that I got when they would dart by me and start looking for the cat. And that is the message that we send to God if we fail to acknowledge him first. Acknowledge him for who he is. Our prayers should begin with a hug and not with a tug. Hallowed be thy name, O God. Holy, holy, holy. Lord, you are set apart. You are worthy. Thank you for allowing me to hug you. Thank you for hugging me. Someone once said that if the Lord's Prayer were to stop right there, reverencing God, that would hasten the kingdom of God here on earth. And the kingdom of God is a theme that runs throughout the entire Bible. The whole Sermon on the Mount is about the kingdom of God. The central message of Jesus was about the kingdom of God. His parables were about the kingdom of God. You and I live in a democracy, not in a kingdom. We have a vote. We have a voice. But the kingdom of God is entirely different. We do not have a vote, but we do have a voice. And having a voice to express your heart to God is one of his greatest gifts to you. Use it. Thank him for it. He opens his arms and he hugs you every time you come into his presence through prayer. We're not going to go through all the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. We've done that before, we could do it again, but I want to jump to the end of the prayer. And no, that is not for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Those words were not found in the original manuscripts of the Bible. They were added later. No one knows for sure, but the tradition says the apostles added them sometime later during their lifetime. It's called the doxology of the Lord's Prayer, and we sing it sometimes here. It's a powerful prayer in and of itself, but the culmination of the Lord's Prayer as Jesus gave it to us in the original language is this: deliver us from evil. And the word evil is more accurately rendered the evil one. Jesus begins his model prayer with the sovereignty of God, and he ends it with the defeat of the devil. And that is what we should be doing when we pray, acknowledging God and making the devil last, chasing him out of our lives. You may remember an illustration that I used in the past. It's based on the four words of the word pray. P-R-A-Y. The P stands for praise first. The R stands for repentance. The A stands for anybody or anything else. And finally, the Y stands for yourself. Praise first, then repentance, then pray for others, and then pray for yourself. If you do it in reverse, it becomes Y-A-R-P, and you are just yarping at God. Now, near the middle of that illustration was pray for anything or anyone else. Someone made a good point. They said that as we mature spiritually in our walk with God and our sanctification, as we mature, we get to know God better. And our prayer life tends to expand its horizons. We find ourselves praying for more and more of the things that do not directly affect us. We might find ourselves praying for missions. We might find ourselves praying for church growth in the world. We might start praying for salvation for other people, or for healing of strangers that we don't even know, or justice or peace or many other things. Things that enhance the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of me. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. To conclude this, I believe that one of the main points that Jesus wanted to learn and wanted us to learn and never forget was that prayer is there to move us from action to relationship. Prayer is intended to move us to relationship first. I think I said that wrong. Prayer is not intended to move us from action to relationship. It's intended to move us from relationship first to action, a relationship with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, may our lives be so vibrant in our relationships with you that you will quickly forgive us when we forget and pray backwards. Would you stand with me and let's pray together?